Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Another day of the best 90 minutes of radio you are going to hear on the internet. It is Blog Talk Radio's own, actually Overtime.News' own via Blog Talk Radio. It is Off the Ropes, the Icon, and Chris McSwiggin. Jason will be joining us shortly. And we've got an interesting debate going right now amongst the members of this show. And that will be, and I'm not going to, I do have some opening banter. I do want to ask you a couple questions, but that will be, what will be the main event of this Sunday's pay-per-view? I'm curious as to what it would be, because if you make it Lesnar versus Goldberg, really, I'm asking myself this.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
I mean, well, that wasn't even a good match.
What's going on in Hell in a Cell, is it though? I thought it was going on in Survivor Series.
Oh, that's what I mean. But what I'm saying is, why is that going to be the best match until WrestleMania? Why is that the match that they're emphasizing, they're highlighting every week? Why is that the match that I'm hearing about when you have three Hell in a Cell matches that are going to be the, I guess, feature previews of the Raw brand, who is desperately trying to rebuild themselves because they're getting their dicks kicked in by SmackDown every week? So I don't understand that. But before we do that, let me ask you a little something. Were you torn yesterday? Were you torn between your Minnesota Vikings and rooting for Carson Wentz?
Well, here is the thing. I love Carson Wentz. He's a great friend of mine, okay? But I have been a Vikings fan longer. I wanted to see Carson Wentz do well, but I wanted the Vikings to win. The interesting thing about that match is neither team played up to their full potential.
No, which is scary because Dallas plays the Eagles next week, which is even scarier.
Yeah, and I have a feeling with the two top rookies from the draft, I have a feeling that Carson is going to come out on top on the Dallas Cowboys. And I know that you're a Cowboys fan, and I can't scold you for that, but
he should come out on top. He was the number two overall pick, and they traded up six slots to grab him. I mean, he should come out on top. But the way that Dak is playing, you just never know. But either way, we'll go into that. It's been a tough week for you with, I mean, South Dakota State of all teams, ending that winning streak for NDSU. Obviously, then the Eagles going in beating Minnesota. It's been a little tough for you. I know that.
South Dakota State beat us last week. We beat
that's
West
what I'm
Illinois
saying.
This
game. I know, but it's been a tough week overall for you.
Yes, it has.
I know that. And so what I'm going to do is next week I'm going to give you your own preview show. You are going to have your preview to your superstar who you want to say have a man crush on because you have the same hairdo now. And that is Scott Hall. And we're going to take your four favorite moments from Scott Hall, and we're going to put those together and and do a little tribute show like I did with my Edge there. And that's what it's going to be. So, I you know, at least you'll have your claim to fame. We'll give you the 45 minutes, you know, to do what you want to do. And you know, show us your man crush, basically.
And I am all ready for it. And, you know, I think it'll be good enough that Dust won't have to break in and save the show like he did last week.
Well, no, he just did that because he likes to negate everything I try to do to have a good time.
Well, you know, the one reason why I said that is he does pay our salary. I did get my free coupon for 5 tokens at Chuck E. Cheese in the mail today from Dustin. So thank you.
You would
Dustin
go to
for
Chuck
that.
E. Cheese.
Well, you would. You know.
You see, you struck me with Dave and Buster's kind of guy, but Chuck E. Cheese, I wouldn't put it past you.
Well, no, I love Dave and Buster's too, but there's not one in my area.
Let me ask you this then.
It's only because it strokes my ego. And
you said stroke.
Yeah. The Dave and Buster's in Dallas, in the mall, when I was here in Frisco, I still hold the record for the for the whack-a-mole game. So
the whack-a-mole, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's the record?
64.
Nice. Now, are you the kind of guy where, you know, you shatter a record like that, and then when you finally miss one, your 65th one, you get like super pissed and throw the mallet?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, okay. I don't know why that came to mind.
Time record.
I figured that would be the case. Dave and Buster's is fun though. We got one in my area around here, and opposite. We don't have a Chuck E. Cheese, but we have a Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do that. You know, like Jason said, we got to go out there. You know, I fly out to you, and then you and I can take a little road trip down. You know, I fly into Albany. And we can take a little road trip.
So my intern is telling me we actually do have a Chuck E. Cheese. We do? Where is it? Oh, it's down by the mall. Huh. Okay, so we do have a Chuck E. Cheese. See, I'm not allowed to go in those places. I'm long story. So anyway.
I know you're like Zach Galifianakis in Hangover. I got it.
Hey, there's Skittles in there. That's a great movie. But regardless, leading back to my first question before Jason calls in on the line here, why is the Goldberg Lesnar match the match that that everybody's pumping up? I don't know if it happened already. I was out in Massachusetts all day. I just got home. So he has not responded yet. Okay, which I'm anxious to see. But my thing is,
and the reason
why
they're waiting.
Why is this the match they're pumping? I mean these are two 40-year-old guys.
The video game.
Okay, but they could have put anybody on a video game.
Yeah, I know, but they have Brock Lesnar on the cover, and if you pre-ordered, you could be Goldberg. You know.
I know all that. I know all that. But my question is, why did this match come to mind? I mean, are they so desperate on Raw for some sort of relevance and ratings that they have to bring back to...
You're breaking up a little bit there, but I'll tell you what. Last week, I thought Raw was good. It wasn't great, but it was good.
Yeah,
you're breaking up again. But what I don't get is so far, this night's Raw in Minneapolis, pretty much in my backyard. You know, I didn't go to it because, I do have a regular job.
I hear you.
But here's the thing. They had – what did they have today? They had Chris Jericho coming out because someone stole his list. Are you freaking kidding me? And they had an arm wrestling match. Are you freaking kidding me? And they had
– better
Mick
than a
Foley,
food fight.
And they had Mick Foley doing the contract signing for the women's Hell in
the women's
match.
I saw that when I walked in. Here's my question. Am I still breaking up, or should I go to my phone, or can you hear me okay?
No, you're not breaking up, no. And the
thing
is,
okay.
And he was trying to talk him out of it. What in the hell is going on?
Well, you knew that these two women are not going to be talked out of it. I mean, you knew that that wasn't going to happen, but I think they wanted to add a little bit of dramatics to it. I know a lot of people are criticizing and questioning the match and saying, well, how can you have two women fight in arguably the, you know, most demonic and dangerous structure ever created, other than the Elimination Chamber anyway? You know, and a lot of people are questioning, well, is this going to be a regular match, just having a cage around it? Because if that's the case, it's going to not be worth it. So they want to put a little bit of soap opera dramatics around it. They would have to.
Well, and you know, it's just that the way that Mick Foley was, you know, he's like, okay, Charlotte, I've known you since you were a little girl, and Sasha, my kids gave you. Yeah, and my kids gave you an autograph of Eddie Guerrero. It's like, come on. This is wrestling. This is not supposed to be a sad story. If you want a sob story, go watch The Notebook. Don't put it on wrestling. Don't put it on Monday Night Raw. That's why you guys are sucking in the ratings.
I don't know. I think they just need TV filler for the final... for 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, a three-hour program, I think they had just enough when they had the old wrestling we're used to, having a two-hour program. I think they had just enough. I think that that in that 2 hours, they were able to still advance storylines. They're still able to have dramatics. Now they just have an extra hour of fluff that they need to add something with.
Well, and
that contract signing took entirely longer than it needed to.
Well, yeah, and if this is supposed to be filler, it wasn't even good filler. Look, here's the deal. If you're going to do this, then put Raw back to 2 hours and give us 3 hours of SmackDown, because SmackDown is still the better show.
This might be blasphemy.
Say that again.
They're going to prove it when? Well, I said this might be blasphemy in the wrestling community, but I never thought I'd say this. But I miss Vince Russo.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Everybody has given Vince Russo a bad rap, which he does deserve and does not deserve.
Some of the most entertaining television I think I've ever seen during his time there.
By on a pole match?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Some of the most entertaining television, because back then wrestling was a novelty still, and then it, you know, exploded in popularity, and it got all the stuff. So that is why people loved it. But it was entertaining. I mean, there was just weird stuff that you would never see today, and now it's all PG, it's all kid friendly, and you know, it's terrible. I mean, I understand that they're a publicly traded company and all that now, and they're not privately owned anymore, and they can't do a lot of the same things because of, you know, net regulations and things. But, you know, they got to do something, and that sort of leads into one of the topics. What does Raw have to do in order to catch up to SmackDown? Because I've been working the past couple – I'm going to be able to watch SmackDown tomorrow night because it's my off week. So I've been working the past couple Tuesdays, and I've missed SmackDown. But, I've went through and I've read the highlights, and I've watched clips of it and things. So I have a general idea of what happened. But why does the flagship program – we ask this every week, why the flagship program is getting killed by a program that's always been second tier, was designed to be second tier – and now has almost become the premier show in terms of storylines, in terms of in-ring action, in terms of, you know, the perfect heel and face balance, in terms of all that stuff. I mean, and you even look at the women's division. Everyone's pumping the Charlotte, Sasha Banks Hell in a Cell match. I think Alexa Bliss might be the best heel, female heel in the business right now. And she's on SmackDown.
And
not only that, but she's a smoke show as well.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a wire here. I think I know that the women's match is going to be the best match of the night. You're not going to see any blood. At least you shouldn't
just
see any.
The actual match itself is going to be the best match. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to bring down the house. Now here comes Brock Lesnar. Okay. And
yep.
You know, everybody knows that he wrestled at the University of Minnesota. The Gophers.
The Golden Gophers.
Everybody knows how. Yeah, everybody knows how I feel about the Gophers. I hate the Gophers.
Yeah.
The thing about Brock Lesnar, and I'll give this a little tidbit, whether people care or not, I'm still going to say it because I'm the icon. I can say what I want.
Fair enough.
Brock Lesnar was teammates with Roger Kish, the head wrestling coach here at North Dakota State. They were teammates.
Nice.
You know? And
That leads me to another question, though. What did you feel about Shelton Benjamin? He was a prodigy of the Gophers as well.
I hate the Gophers. I hate the football team. I hate the wrestling team. I hate the volleyball team. I hate the men's and women's basketball team. Really, the only team for the Gophers I like is the chess club and the debate team. That's it.
Now my question is, and I'm sure there's a story behind it, why? What have the Gophers ever done to you?
Okay. Back in the early 2000s, around 2004, 2005, 2006, they hired a football coach named Tim Brewster. And the Bison were going up to play the Gophers down in Minnesota in the Metrodome. Now, Tim Brewster had opened his mouth and said, "Well, we shouldn't be playing you guys. You guys are farm boys from North Dakota. You guys are the little guys in green. We shouldn't be playing you." And then we went and smacked him right in the mouth and kicked their ass.
Was this pre or post Carson Wentz?
Oh, this is pre. This is Steve Walker time.
Oh, okay, because nobody really, at least unless you're in your area of the country, nobody really knows much about that team until they won their 5 consecutive national titles or whatever it was, 4 consecutive. Like, I didn't know who North Dakota – I didn't even know North Dakota State – 5, okay. I didn't even know North Dakota State was a team that happened. So I do understand why some people are like, who is this? You know, was it nearly as egregious as the Iowa State commentator guy that you showed me the video of?
Okay. Andy Fales?
Yeah.
That's the guy's name.
Yep.
And here's the interesting thing. Andy Fales and I became friends after the little spit match that we had. He sent me an autographed picture. He sent me a nice autographed letter. I have it framed on my wall. He even used my card, my collector's card, in one of his stories. So me and Andy Fales are good.
One of your icon collector cards?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Nice.
He used it on national television, so he and I are good.
Frank, what the hell are you doing, man?
That's my character. I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can, and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
No, nobody's going to get hurt. I'm telling you, it's like you said, it's all fake.
But it has... So, that just reminds me of something right now that current WWE would do. We do have a very, very VIP special person on the line here with us. It is Mr. Sexual Chocolate. Jason Cordonaire, who I told you was going to call in fashionably late, but he made it. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, you guys seen Liar Liar, Jim Carrey?
Uh-huh.
Where he's on the plane, and he's like, "I made it. I'm late, but I made it." And that's what it reminds me of. But Jason's here. And Jason, Icon was just telling a story about why he hates the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Interesting story. You know, he knows the history of that program a lot better than I think most people do. So kind of an interesting story. But, Jason, I'll ask you real quick. We have 3 Hell in a Cell matches coming up at Sunday's pay-per-view. 3 Hell in a Cell matches. Okay. And why is the match that's being pumped the hardest a match between 2 40-year-old superstars who were popular back in the early 2000s? I mean, I look at this and I think to myself,
oh my God, who the hell cares?
I mean, I didn't even like that match in 04 when it happened. I didn't even like it in 04. I thought, all right, Goldberg, Lesnar, 2 big, beefy, you know, greased up, burly guys going at it. You know, one of them's going to win. But, you know, it wasn't a match that really drew a lot of excitement for me. In fact, the most exciting thing about the Road 4 rivalry was the fact that Stone Cold came in when Brock Lesnar stole his ATV. And that whole thing, that match was gassed up by Stone Cold. If Stone Cold was not the special guest referee of that match, I would have probably not watched it. I would have went and got a pizza or something. So why are you forcing me to watch it again now, 13 years later? That's my question.
I guess it's because of the video games. That's the only thing I could think of.
That's what I kind of said, yeah.
Other than that, there's really no interest in it. Like, who really cares? Like you said, who cares? Goldberg is, back then he was a little older than Lesnar, and now he's pushing in his 50s, while Lesnar is, you know, he's pretty much middle-aged 40-year-old. No one cares about this match.
Well, Lesnar has been in the ring, too. Goldberg has not been in the ring since then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this Lesnar match is like, go ahead.
Okay, here's what this match is like. If you guys remember, Survivor Series, Hulk Hogan took on The Undertaker in the Graves Challenge. Then he came back,
yes.
And then he took on The Undertaker again. That's the same thing they're hashing out.
Tuesday night in Texas,
I
remember that.
Yeah, a match that happened in the past that was exactly the same both times. This match here is going to be the exact same as what happened in 2004. Without Stone Cold, obviously.
Yeah.
But
Maybe it's a different result, because Goldberg dominated that match.
I'll give you guys something better. I think this reminds me so much of when Hollywood Hulk Hogan took on the Ultimate Warrior in WCW, and they really tried to, like, you know, live up to the hype of how it was when it was at WWE. Only problem.
And it
is,
wasn't
you know,
even close.
It wasn't even close, and I think this is going to happen. That's what I think is going to happen now, because back then, these guys were big, you know, brawling monsters. Something tells me when Goldberg takes off his shirt, unless he's hitting the gym, like, right now, at this minute, he's going to look real small compared to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and another thing, it's funny that you guys brought up The Undertaker. I saw another ad preview for WrestleMania for The Undertaker. He's going to fight again? I mean, Jason, you got the inside scoop on a lot of this stuff. Is this going to happen?
I hope not, because I don't know if you guys saw the picture circulating, you know, him recently having hip surgery, and he's walking around on crutches, and he looks like a 70-year-old man, if you see the picture
I'm
talking
the
about.
The match is going to happen, all right? And let me ask you guys this. Do you know who they're going to have it against?
If it's not Cena, I don't want to watch it. It has to be Cena.
It's not Cena. It's going to be Sting.
Say that again. I missed that. I had somebody talking
about
it.
It will be Sting. Undertaker versus Sting.
Okay, that is confirmed.
No, it's not confirmed.
Okay.
But
it's Icon's intuition.
Yes. And for the WWE writer that's listening right now, start booking it. Start pumping it right now. Because you guys got nothing else going on Raw anyway, so start pumping that match right now. That's my two.
God, I hope not. I hope not. I don't want to see. Actually, we're part of this year's WrestleMania. I don't want to see that match.
Yep.
I mean, look, the deal is, The Undertaker is old, okay? Sting is old. I mean, the only match that would make sense for those two to be at WrestleMania would be against each other. Everybody knows Sting stay with WCW. The Undertaker stay with the WWE.
So that's going to be the storyline behind this whole thing?
Yes.
Huh.
Because Sting has said that he has one unfinished match in the WWE. And that's against The Undertaker. I mean, it would make more sense if you're going to have The Undertaker come back, have him face Sting. I mean, the idea is too good to pass up. And more people would want to watch that. I know I would want to see it. And that's why they got to do it. And that's why they're going to do it.
Well, I mean, that's the main question here behind this is like my issue would be very similar to the issue with why they're doing the Lesnar and Goldberg match. The big question, it's three letters, it's why. Because, I mean, Undertaker has looked geriatric and old and washed up ever since his first match with Lesnar. And he's been there three times since then. So, I mean, my thing is, and Sting, we saw what happened now, again, at Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is young, you know, young stud in his prime. So, you know, I can see why Seth Rollins looked dominant versus The Undertaker, against Sting, rather. But why would they force us on that match? I mean, I understand everybody wants to see Taker again, and I understand everybody's excited for Undertaker back again, but, I mean, dude, you're going to kill this man in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is, and he's such a company guy that he's not going to turn it down. You know, he's going to, if he's breathing, he's going to get into a ring, and eventually, you know, you're going to have a match where this guy ends up in a wheelchair. You know,
if he's not breathing, he's already dead anyway. So,
well, true. But the way I look at it is, at this point, and yes, I have to tie my Dallas Cowboys into everything. Is at this point, Undertaker is Tony Romo. Okay, I mean he's one small little injury away from probably not even being able to walk anymore. So,
well, yeah, but
it,
the difference
you know,
is though
you could have said
Romo Tito
sucks, you could have
and
said
the Undertaker
Tito.
Doesn't.
Hey now, icon. Okay, hey now.
He does. He sucks.
He does not suck. He's a top 10 quarterback, but that's for a different show at a different time.
You should have said Geno Smith.
Yeah, but Geno Smith isn't old.
Yeah,
Romo's
yeah.
old for the NFL. Geno Smith is young and sucks. But regardless. Like, they're going to force on us these two old dudes. And Sting, you know, Sting, yeah, he got hurt against Seth Rollins because Rollins is a strapping young man in his prime. But he didn't even look good. I mean, he didn't even look impressive in the least bit against Sting. You know what I'm saying? He looked old. That's the best way to phrase it. He looked like his age. And, you know, when Sting was in TNA, he was doing general manager duties. He wasn't doing a lot of wrestling. And every once in a while, he would get in the ring here and there. But he really didn't have a huge role. And, you know, if you're going to put him up against, at the time, your company's top star, who was Seth Rollins, of course he's going to look his age. I mean, the man's mid-50s. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, all this young talent I don't think is as good as the young talent back then. But I would rather see the young guys go at it and you know that they're building towards the future. You know, I'd rather see a bunch of Dak Prescott's and Ezekiel Elliott's out there than I would, you know, Tony Romo's and you know, at this point, Emmett Smith's, really, if you want to talk about Undertaker's age. You know, so I don't know. I just don't like the whole fact that this Lesnar and Goldberg match is being pushed on us and people are eating it up like it's freaking Jeff Boyardee. It's not. It's not an appealing or attractive match. It's not a match that I care to see. I'm gonna watch it because I'm gonna watch the pay per view, but it's not a match that I'm drooling over.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, guys: if you had to choose between two legends wrestling, and they had to put the match out there, let me ask you this: what match would you rather see? Undertaker versus Sting, or Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Hulk Hogan?
What was the first one? It was Austin and Hogan, or what was the first one? Undertaker and who?
Sting.
I would go Stone Cold. Yeah, Austin Hogan.
I would love to see that match too.
And that's just simply because you've got two. And sorry for using the trademark here, but you've got two icons going at it in the ring. I don't necessarily look at Sting like an icon because, again, I have trouble remembering a shitload of memorable Sting moments. I know there was a bunch, but, you know, right now I'm blanking out on them. But I can probably tell you off the top of my head the best moments from Stone Cold and the best moments from Hulk Hogan. you know? So just off the top of my head, and I think that those two guys, I mean, the roof wouldn't be able to contain those two guys. I mean, the roof would blow off the building. If Stone Cold got back in the ring one time, for anything other than a beer cameo and some middle fingers, the roof wouldn't be able to contain that place. That new stadium in Minnesota, it's all glass roof, dude. That thing would shatter and everybody would get cut if Austin stepped in the ring one more time, you know? So it's – and Hogan always gets ovations. Hogan got cheered when he was an NWO heel, okay? I mean, they love the guy. So, I don't know. I think that would have to be the match between these two. If those are my options, that would have to be the match.
Well, now let's throw some – you know, there's a lot of guys that we would like to see come back and wrestle, you know, one more match. And to me, one more match guy would have to be Shawn Michaels.
Of course.
But, how about putting him up against Sting?
So are you telling me then that this
I don't think Sting
old...
can hang with him.
Okay. Are you telling me then that that this geriatric nursing home battle match is one you want to see?
I would pay to see it. Yes, I would. I know that doesn't make any sense to you guys. But I would pay to see that match.
Would you pay to see it in person?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Do you like them because they're both the same age as you?
No. I like it because they could both kick Edge's ass.
I mean, put it this way. That's almost like seeing Ric Flair, you know, going up against, like... You know, I'm trying to think of somebody who's not dead. You know, because, like, you know, that you've got DiBiase and you've got, like, DiBiase and those guys. They're all, you know, old or dead or Dusty Rhodes. So put it this way, Shawn Michaels now versus Ric Flair. That's almost what this would be like. Neither guy has been in the ring in forever. They're both past their prime. I mean, sure, I love Undertaker. I always will. I like Sting, sure. Okay, but it's just, you can't headline, and then what are you going to do? You're going to have Sting lose? You're going to have Undertaker lose? That's the whole point of this whole thing, too, is you get two guys that are mega, mega superstars. One of them's going to lose, you know? So if it were me, if I were Undertaker, if he's itching so badly to get back in the ring, why not do what they're doing with Braun Strowman and put him up against a bunch of nobodies just to get his win total up, you know? Because I don't see why they would put him in the ring with another megastar who it's going to tarnish either one of their legacies either way. Because when it goes into the history books, this is the last match. The advertisement on Wrestling Today said the last match for The Undertaker. Are you really want to remember The Undertaker's last match being lost to a guy who's fought once in 12 years? You know? So, yeah, but do you want Sting's last match to be losing to, you know, an Undertaker that is basically peeling off of his skeleton? You know? So I just don't – it doesn't make sense to me that they're going to tarnish one of these two guys who have given so much to the business. I would actually honestly see a Lesnar-Undertaker rematch and have Undertaker get the upper hand and get the win for his final match than I would those two go at it, honestly.
Well, then let me put it to you this then. Now, if Edge came back to wrestle one of these guys, you know you'd be right there for it.
Absolutely. Spear all day.
Tell me, why is putting Edge in there any different than putting anybody else?
I actually wouldn't. I'm kidding. I actually don't want Edge wrestling anymore because of his neck, and I don't want to see a guy, you know, end up in a wheelchair because Raw needs ratings, you know? So that's why.
Raw does need ratings.
If Edge was healthy, hell yeah. But
I mean,
he's not.
Raw does need ratings. I mean.
Yeah. Plus, what show is Undertaker going to come back to? I mean, is at this point, you might as well bring him back on SmackDown, because that's been, as you guys said, the more premier show.
True. And, well, it has. And, you know, Raw is just lacking direction, you know? And, I mean, I love Mick Foley. I look like Mick Foley. Of course, unless you go to Iowa.
You're always changing your image. You're always changing your image. First you look like Scott Hall, then you look like Mick Foley. Going to make your mind up here.
Well, let me finish. The thing is, people all my life have said that I look like Mick Foley. That is until I go to Iowa, then I start looking like Silent Bob. Then I decided, okay, well, this isn't working for me, so I might as well go with the Scott Hall thing. But anyway, I don't know what Raw is thinking. Right now, you have a handicap match. I'm going to get to my point here. You have a handicap match.
Please do.
Thanks. You have a handicap match between the Canadian DX faction, and this match makes absolutely no sense. Why you would do this, unless you're trying to screw Seth Rollins, which I think they're trying to do. And if you're trying to make him a good guy, this is not the way to do it. That is why Raw.
No, not at all.
This is why Raw is lacking. They lack direction. And
now, what would be the main event then of Sunday's pay per view? Is it going to be the women's match?
I think so. It's because not only is it going to be the main event, it's going to be the best match. Because, you know, you're not going to see, you know, I keep saying this, you're not going to see blood in this match. If you do, I'd be really
depending,
surprised.
Depending on what day of the month it is, but I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, right. That's tasteless.
I take it back. I don't think the women's match would be last. Only because I believe Triple H returns and causes Seth the chance of the championship, setting up their feud for a Survivor Series. So I don't think the women's match would be last.
That's a solid point. I think there's a case for either one of them to be the main event, honestly. But yeah, I hear you. Whatever happened to another thing Icon brought up, title defenses on, you know, weekly shows. It seems like SmackDown's defending the WWE title every week. The World Heavyweight title hasn't been defended in a month. You got this roly-poly Oompa Loompa carrying your belt around.
Yeah.
It just looks bad.
Yeah, this guy cannot retain the championship after Survivor Series. Cannot.
He's gonna though. You know he's going to because, like Jason said, they're gonna set up the Seth Rollins Triple H feud. So you know you're not gonna set the feud up unless you have Rollins take the belt and then Triple H goes on a quest for the next month to try to take it off of him and it
well,
comes to a head of Survivor
happen.
Series.
That's what's gonna happen. I doubt
they do that route.
You don't think?
Because, and then the reason why they're gonna do that is it just makes sense because of how power hungry Triple H is. He wants the title. And what match would you rather see? Triple H and Kevin Owens for the title or Seth Rollins versus Triple H for the title?
I think this is what I think is gonna happen. I think Seth Rollins is going to feud with Triple H. I think that the Canadian DX is going to break up and they're going to feud each other until Finn Balor comes back around Rumble time, and that's who's going to take the belt off of Kevin Owens.
It's going to be that soon that he comes back?
Well, they said he's going to be out 5 to 6 months. You figured he got hurt in the
probably
August.
What, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
SummerSlam. I could see him back by February.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, you know, it's just see, Finn Balor was one of those guys that's a young up-and-comer. I love watching him. I don't have any interest in this Goldberg and this Lesnar and this Undertaker thing. I don't. In fact, I would rather see Mick Foley pull Mr. Sacco out of his sweatpants again than I would see, you know, another one of these Undertaker matches, especially if it's against, you know, a geriatric guy. Now, if it's Undertaker versus a guy like a Finn Balor.
He just pinned both of them. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
I have never seen a triple threat finish like that.
CrossFit Jesus strikes again.
Wow. That was intense. Icon, brought to you by Cage Combat. Brought to you by Cage Combat and Standing Eight Entertainment, one of our sponsors. The Combat Recap. Take us through what just happened at the end of Raw.
Okay. We had probably the worst triple threat match I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
Seth Rollins versus the Roly-Poly, Kevin Owens, and Chris Jericho, the I'm going to put you on my list if you don't like me. Seth Rollins gets pulled, does a slide underneath, pins both the Canadian geriatrics, and now they are beating the hell out of him. And now we're going to fade to black and go on to the good show tomorrow night on SmackDown. That's what happened.
Fair enough. And
SmackDown,
you know,
versus Cleveland tomorrow night.
Oh yeah, the Cubs Indians. That you know, that's another World Series where, or another sporting event, where I'm going to feel bad for the losing side because there's so much.
Go Cubs!
Yeah, I'm rooting for them as well, but I just am going to feel bad for Cleveland too because, I mean, what, it's been, what, 1995, I think, since they last been there?
Now,
it's been 48 years since they won.
They haven't won it since 48.
Yeah, true, but the Cubs have won it since 1908. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be amazing for either fan base. I don't know what storyline is better, honestly. The Cubs breaking the curse with Theo Epstein and Joe Maddon and that stacked lineup, or Cleveland waiting 52 years to win a professional sports championship and then doing it with two teams in the same year. I don't know which one's better.
Well, the deal is,
versus Chirac.
You know what's funny though? We can't wait another 100 years.
But you know what's crazy about tomorrow night is that I don't think it's ever been done before where you have the World Series happening at one time and literally across the street you're having the Cavs get their rings. So, I mean, who's going to be more buzzing than Cleveland tomorrow night?
And it's going to be who gets home field?
No, I'm saying the Cubs are playing in Cleveland tomorrow night. Game one of the World
okay,
Series.
So
and at the same
so it's
going to
be in Cleveland, okay.
Yes, at the same time, across the parking lot, the Cavs get their championship rings. So
don't you think that's kind of ridiculous that the Cubs have?
But that's what makes baseball.
The Cubs have the best record in baseball by a long shot, and are going to be the road team in this series.
But you know what? That's what makes baseball's All Star game the best All Star game because of that same exact reason.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I can see it. It's, I guess, giving, you know, there is no reward for having the best record. It's what league ends up being the best in July,
yeah.
You know? So,
That sucks. In the long scheme
It sucks for the Cubs because, I mean, shit, they could have won 80 games and still won their division. So, you know, it doesn't matter. But my thing here, guys, and just getting back to this because, Jason, we're going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow on Sports Roundup. Tomorrow morning, but my thing here, guys, is Raw, I guess we talked about a little bit, what does Raw have to do in order to get ratings? We touched on it a bit last week. We've had a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of comment boxes, a lot of people hitting us up with their suggestions, and some of their suggestions were to bring back the blood, you know, bring back the intensity of the Attitude and Ruthless Aggression eras, to bring back the, you know, just the crazy moments that make you go, what, did that just happen? You know, and we haven't had that. they're not saying that they that necessarily have to bring back the bra and panties matches or the mud wrestling matches. Those would be nice, but that's obviously not going to happen with the way today's society is. But bring back the, you know, bring back the use of weapons. I mean, hit a guy with a chair every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do something. Because, I mean, didn't it seem like back in the day, a lot of the really ruthless attacks were with some sort of a weapon, and it made you, you know, whether it was Triple H with the sledgehammer or it was, you know, whatever superstar with a steel chair, sometimes the ring steps were used, you know,
the
whatever.
Kendo
stick, Steve Blackman. Yeah, or does anybody remember when – okay, does anybody remember when Kane – tied Shane McMahon to the ring post and put his legs in between the steps and then took car batteries to his nuts? Does anybody remember that?
Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah. See, why can't they do something like that? You know?
They call that the up-the-voltage segment.
Yeah, I know. And why can't they do something like that again? That would really be awesome. I mean, shit, you see it on network television all the time. There's some stuff that I see on some of these network television shows that I'm just like, whoa, you know, did they allow that to happen on cable? You know, but yet wrestling won't allow it to happen. It doesn't make sense to me. And Jason, I was saying this to Icon before you got on the line. This might be blasphemy for anybody in the wrestling community, but part of me misses Vince Russo.
I agree. I miss him too. I miss Vince. I even miss Bischoff.
I miss Bischoff more than I do Russo.
Well, Bischoff was, those were scripted lines for the most part. I mean, you know, Bischoff was a product of the creative team. And, you know, so I think I just miss a guy like a Russo on the creative team that would make it entertaining television again. Because to me, two 200-plus pound sweaty men rolling around in mankinis isn't necessarily entertainment to me unless something crazy happens, you know? Unless Stone Cold drives the Zamboni into the ring or, you know, and attacks McMahon, or Undertaker is mysteriously driving the hearse that Stone Cold just got put into the back of, or Austin runs over Rock's new Lincoln Continental with a big monster truck, or, you know, DX is saying suck it to somebody, or, you know, something that is like, wow. You know, you remember, okay, I'm gonna date this here. I think this was 99, but I'm not 100% sure. It could be 2000. You remember Mankind, or Cactus Jack, and Chainsaw Charlie, who was Terry Funk, were in a hardcore tag match with New Age Outlaws, and they put them in the dumpster and rolled the dumpster off the stage?
98.
That was
97. 97, 98.
That was amazing. Amazingly ridiculous. They need to do something like that again. But they won't. But they should.
They won't. No, they won't. You know, and, you know, I mean, everybody knows how much I respect Mick Foley. And, you know, but him and Stephanie McMahon are not doing the job. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if it ain't too long before you see Vince McMahon come back and say, hey, you guys are out of here, you know. But Foley will get the boot first, then Triple H will come back, you know, and then hopefully they'll get the boot, you know.
Is it bad that the Authority has been the best thing to happen to wrestling in the last 5 years?
Yes, it is. But actually, when the Authority was screwing people over, I actually wanted to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
Now,
honestly.
I mean, name the one week that Raw has been good. How long has it been?
Well, a couple weeks ago you said it was actually pretty decent.
Well, last week was good.
Yeah. Well, last week was okay, too. But, no, the last time it was good, in my opinion, was the last broadcast Jim Ross did, which I think was, what, 08, before he went to SmackDown?
Has it been that long?
I think 08 was when he went to SmackDown, I think, anyway. Do you guys remember when Triple H was feuding with McMahon? I believe this was 06, and
Vince stuck to Spirit Squad on Triple H because they had already taken out Michael's leg with the chair, and then they were gonna put it. They put the chair around Triple H's neck, and they were gonna jump on it and break his neck, whatever it was. And Shawn Michaels comes back in his triumphant return. Yeah, that was entertaining. That was awesome, and that was a Jim Ross call, and that was just it gave me goosebumps. Of course, most of the moments with him did, but. Now, one more thing, guys. I heard Spirit Squad's on SmackDown now again.
Yeah,
they are. They're
same guys.
With, Dolph Ziggler.
Same guys. Yep.
Wow.
But the thing is, they can SmackDown can afford to have one lame thing because all of Raw is lame. So, you know.
That's true. Now my question is, why are they? If it's so lame, you guys saw. You want to talk about lame right now. A lame duck product is the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, you guys saw, I don't know, well, maybe you saw. I know Jason may have seen, but I don't know if you did Icon, but you could have. That it was an empty stadium this week for the most part for the 49ers game because
mm-hmm.
you know, tickets are so expensive to park. But, I mean, it looked like one of those midsummer baseball games with a shitty team. You know, it was just an empty stadium. They're continuing to sell out arenas left and right. I mean, they've got to be doing something right. Because, I mean, they're putting 15 to 20,000 in every arena they go to every single week.
Yep.
So it's got to be something.
I don't know why.
Well, if you look around the crowd, a lot of them are kids, though. Jason, when you went to the shows in the Barclays, there were a lot of, I'd say, under the age of 12 kids walking around.
Absolutely not. With mostly adults.
No.
Mostly,
really?
Mostly adults with their wrestling T-shirts and just having some beers. And the only time
you see
younger kids, but they left by like the 10 o'clock hour because that 3 hours
gets them out of their parents' basement or something, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
But,
and here's another tactic, and I've been part of it. What the WWE likes to do, if they find that there is a lot of open seats, what they'll do an hour and a half before the doors open, they will take they will take a black sheet and cover up one whole section and make it dark. Okay, and fans that had tickets in that section, they will send them to the ticket line, exchange their tickets for an open seat somewhere else in the arena. And this happened to me at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks. I had a ringside seat in the section that they blocked off. I had to go get in, and I ended up in frickin' nosebleed territory, and I was pissed because they didn't sell enough tickets for the show. That's
oh, wow.
what the WWE does to make it look full.
You know
if
what?
If they don't,
co-sign that. They did do that to us for NXT TakeOver. We had like nosebleed seats, but I guess because of like Bobby Roode's entrance, they covered up that section and gave us floor seats instead. So they do.
Well, that's
I can see the reverse.
You got benefited from that.
Yeah, I got benefited, but I can definitely see the reverse happening more after they're done.
I got screwed because of that.
Here's another thing. Dustin just commented to me and said that you know, do you really believe that it's Mick and Stephanie making the matches? No, I think it's well known that it is Hunter and Vince making the matches, and obviously, but you know, for the kayfabe storyline, it's got to be those two. But I don't think Stephanie really does that much in the creative booking department. I think maybe she writes some of the storylines. I know she technically works in the creative department, but everybody knows Vince with his ego. Vince is another guy. As long as he's breathing, he's going to be in control.
I think Steph has a little bit more say-so than we are led to believe. I think Vince has say-so. I think Vince has final say-so, but I think Steph...
What about Triple H?
Well, Triple H, he's earned the right to have, like, high-level... say so in the company. NXT is just a brilliant show that, you know, I wish more people got a chance to really get behind.
Now, is that Hunter's baby? Is that something that Triple H came up with, or whose bright idea was NXT?
That was all Triple H. NXT is all Triple H's idea. That's all Triple H.
Oh, wow.
And Vince gave him a budget, he gave him a time slot, and he let him do his own thing. But I don't think
and it's working.
I don't think it would get to the level that it is now, but that's all Triple H.
Well, you look at a lot of the up-and-coming young talent on this roster. A lot of them came through there.
A lot of them.
So, yeah. So that's nice. I noticed Maria and some of those guys are in Impact Wrestling now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw a commercial for Impact Wrestling last night, and I was like, oh, Maria still looks good in those shorts. But Santino Marella, Cody Rhodes, those guys are all in Impact Wrestling, which I think is going to end up getting bought out pretty soon, relatively soon, and bringing a lot of that talent over. But, guys, do you think that maybe I came up with some suggestions perhaps while we were sitting here. Do you think Raw should be, if it's 3 hours long, should it be every other week? That's one. Should the final hour be like a hardcore hour and just have, you know, the intense stuff that they don't show for the first 2 hours happen in the third hour, the blood, the chair shots, the cage matches, whatever it may be. Third one would be, do you guys feel that maybe they should allow, you know, some personal storylines? Do you guys remember when Tori Wilson's father, Dawn Marie, was fucking Tori Wilson's father? And that was a really deep-seated personal storyline. Do you think that they should get into some deep-rooted personal storylines? I mean, those are my three suggestions to maybe make WoW better.
I like those ideas. I think I'm going to lean towards having the hardcore stuff happen the last hour. Because I think by then, you know, those kids should not be watching, should be getting ready for, you know, school the next night. So that would probably be my suggestion.
Yeah,
maybe. Oh.
What do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dream.
The best part of that whole
My
thing
ear
was
hurts
listening
now.
To Chris go, oh. The right when the happens and Chris is like, ah.
Yeah, my ear. Thank you for that. But
guys, I'm here to bring in some energy because I'm listening and Chris sounds like he wants to go back to bed. Unfortunately, it doesn't. I don't blame the kid because
well,
Raw
we're not
was
doing
atrocious.
Don't be excited about it.
No, listen, Raw was the worst Raw. I mean, I've never seen an uglier Rollins match, to be honest with you. I was offended as a Rollins fan. I'm like watching him like stumble over Jericho, and like even when Kevin Owens was doing moves to him, I was kind of like, what the hell is going on? I don't think Rollins is the type of guy who can have a match with an unathletic guy. I think Rollins needs to be going against Finn Balor's and Ambrose's and, you know, Roman Reigns's, and, you know, he needs to be against athletes that can also match his energy and his high flying.
Well, I think that's why he looked like shit against Sting too.
I agree, but Sting can also carry his own just off of his character and his like ring presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sting's last match where he hurt his back off of that turnbuckle powerbomb, Sting did not look like he was 57. Sting looked like 40-year-old Sting. Like Sting can still move. So it just comes down to these old guys, all they got to do is tweak something, and then now they can't move. So, but listen, my biggest thing is I, you know, I'm here to kind of, I guess, you know, depress a lot of people. We're old, man. You know, it's a depressing thing, but it's not good when you're getting upset with the wrestling industry because they can't keep up with your times. They can't keep up with the good old days. You know, it's never a good thing when you're that grandfather that's looking up at the clouds, shaking his fist, like, you know, how dare you come over here? It's stuff you can't control. It's a sad day, but I said this probably a year ago when I started my first wrestling podcast. I just think, you know, at some point you outgrow the brand, you outgrow the idea. And maybe if you have kids and then revisit it 5 to 7 to 10 years down the line, you can enjoy it with your kid. But right now it's abundantly clear that the WWE has zero interest in anyone other than children. I mean, across the board, you know, they might not frown upon girls wearing some skimpy stuff just to appease the dads that got to bring their kids. But we know we're not seeing bra and panty matches anymore. There's no pillow fights. There's no, you know, there's no accidental wardrobe malfunctions. Like, this is a PG show.
Quote, unquote, accidental.
Right. This is a PG show. And it sucks, man. But I really don't think there's a single one of you that can deny the fact that we're old and we're living in the past. And it's just not going to come back.
Well, Dustin, let me ask you this. Is this your opinion?
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
About the Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg match?
Yeah, I mean, as a lifelong fan who's way too old to be watching this shit, it was cool to see Goldberg come out. But then when you realize, okay, now I got to wait a week to hear what Brock says. And then after that, I got to wait a week to see what Goldberg says. And then after that, I got to wait another week to see what Brock says. And then ultimately, this match might happen by like 2019. It's like, you know, in the old days, they would have both been there tonight. You would have done the 1 week, no, you know, the 1 week Heyman, the 1 week Goldberg, and then now they show up. Not 1 week Heyman, 1 week Goldberg, 1 week Heyman and Brock, next week Goldberg, and then next week, you know, I'm almost willing to bet big money that now next week Goldberg will be there and Brock will come out of the crowd or something and hit him from behind or whatever. But I think what they're trying to do is give Goldberg enough time to juice up, because there's a reason why he wore that fitted jacket so he could look like he was big. You know, if you see him in the 2K commercial when he's wearing the wife beater, and then if you've seen him in his behind-the-scene interviews, he looks like a shriveled-up old guy now who used to be jacked. So it's going to be depressing when you go and you see those guys get in the ring again, because you got one guy, Brock, who's still a monster, and then you got a guy who used to be a monster who now looks like a grandfather.
He's never been as big as Brock, though.
No, bullshit.
I mean, he was
their
big.
First
He's
match,
never been as big as
their first match, Goldberg and Brock were their identical. Their first match when they
you
stood in front of each other. Oh, yeah, man. Goldberg had bigger traps.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, yeah, I can see it.
It's just but tell me, like Icon, Jason, chime in. Explain to me how I'm wrong about the fact that we have passed wrestling. Like, it's over for us.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but when you come on, none of us can get a word in edgewise. But, no, the glory days of wrestling is done. I remember, now this is proving my age again, but I remember the 80s, and I remember how I was waiting for the 80s to come back, and wrestling finally got good again when the NWO started. If wrestling is going to make a turn back to where we need to go, you need to have something like this happen, and WWE Creative does not have the brain capacity to figure that out and make that happen. And to the writer that's listening to this show, get your head out of your ass and give us what we want. Stop this pussyfooting around. Jesus. Okay, that's my two cents.
I think it will change. It will turn the corner, but the only way it'll turn the corner is Vince let go of Final Decision. I think that's what's holding WWE hostage. Because people are watching alternative wrestling. People are watching the New Japan. People are watching Ring of Honor. And now those guys are heading to NXT. So,
they have the ability to do that now with technology.
Exactly.
They couldn't do that back in the day when we grew up.
But Triple H is grabbing all those guys. So it all comes down to this. Is Vince going to let his daughter and son-in-law take over the company? And who knows?
Now, Dustin, let me ask you. You don't get excited about much. But are you excited, Dustin, about the Hell in a Cell first ever for the two women?
They don't have any place in wrestling, and I'm the only one who has the balls to say it. Women, you know, this whole Divas Revolution thing, and and women athletes. I get it. Charlotte Flair's a beast. She's a CrossFit fiend. That's awesome. But in this industry and, you know, in whatever we're trying to put on this show, I don't know. They're going towards kids. So in my wrestling, they don't have a place. In my wrestling, women are managers. In my wrestling, women are just what we grew up on. Bra and panty matches, bikini contest. It's a man show. It's perverted, stupid, and just guys going out there beating the crap out of each other. So, whatever. I say it like it is, and I don't care for it. It's a Hell in a Cell match. Is supposed to be gruesome. It's supposed to be bloody. It's supposed to be falling off the top of that cell. They already told Charlotte she's not allowed to do that. You know, it's just, it's stupid. This is my point. It's like WNBA to NBA. Yeah, cool. It'll put some butts in seats, but it's certainly not going to, you know, it's not going to rival the real deal. It's just, it's smoke and mirrors.
Well, hey, I will have to kind of retort about that. The Lingerie Football League is pretty good.
Yeah, okay, but the Lingerie Football League is girls running around in a bikini and a bra with shoulder pads. So if you dress them up in real uniforms, then okay, I guess I'll understand where you're coming from. But again, that's a league that's 100% sexism, just like the UFC version with chicks in their underwear. There's a UFC where it's just girls in lingerie beating the shit out of each other. Nobody's watching that for the Brazilian jiu-jitsu techniques. People are watching it to watch girls roll around in their underwear. It's, you know what I mean? That's what men do. That's what men want to see.
That's the only reason why I watch it.
Right. So, again, so why the Diva Revolution? It's because Stephanie's finally got some pull, and she wants women to have more of a, you know, more of a – hell, Icon, you're so far up Hillary Clinton's ass, you should be all over this. This is a women's world, and they need equal rights and blah, blah, fucking blah. This is what Stephanie's trying to do to WWE. She's trying to Hillary Clinton the WWE. Oh, we got everything. We can have a main event. We can have Hell in a Cell. We can do this. We can – hell, where's the Last Man Standing match all women? Where's the TLC match all women? I mean, make it equal or don't make it equal. Don't half-ass it.
I was going to say that sounds like Donald Trump's campaign speech, but anyway.
No, make WWE great again. That's right. There you go.
It's time, but they don't have – the WWE does not have what it takes to bring the good stuff back. They don't have the balls to say – and I don't care if they're a public company or not. I don't give a crap about that. What got them to become a public company? The Attitude Era. Why don't you bring back what made you guys great? Don't put it on the shelf and keep it there. Do something about it. You know?
No, they can't bring back the Attitude Era because, like Dustin said, you know, people will go ape shit.
I know. It's ridiculous. You know?
Well, I think they will
mean,
because of just, I mean, think of it this way, guys. And Dustin, I don't know if you knew about this, but if you didn't, you're going to know now. Dustin and I share a lot of views when it comes to a lot of things. We also don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. But I wanted to drink bleach the other day when I read this, okay? I actually went to the bar and asked if I could get a bleach shot. They are offering counseling. Many colleges and universities, University of Florida, University of Vermont, University of Syracuse, a couple of them, they are offering counseling for those upset, okay, by those upset by offensive, those upset about offensive Halloween costumes, they're offering counseling for. And
oh, good God.
I shit you not. And so when they do that, and that's not a rumor that was on Facebook, that's on the actual school's academic pages. Counseling will be offered for those for offensive Halloween costumes if they're upset. When I was in college, the point of Halloween was to just as offensive as possible.
I drink cyanide. You only wanted to drink bleach?
Yes, something, yeah. Because when I read
ridiculous.
That, because, like I said, when I was in college, it was funny to just offensive. Now they're offering counseling for it. It's like the world as we know it is over.
Yeah, I mean, but admit to me that when you're when you're watching this entertainment that it sucks top to bottom.
Well, that's why. That point I just made is why they're not going to bring Attitude Era back and why it sucks, because everybody is offended over everything.
Well, they're never going to bring Attitude Era back, because that's why they dedicate so much to it and refer to it like it's, you know, you're the like the metal soldier that came back from the war who gets the hero's welcome. Like, they're always going to refer to it as the good old days. You never get back to the good old days. The good old days are always a distant memory. So my point is, it's over for us. We are old. We remember the good old days.
We are old.
Now we have to move on. And you know what I mean? Like, either look at it strictly from a kid's point of view, which is, oh my God, look at, you know, the big guy with the muscles is pointing at me. My night's made. Or it's just a joke. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'm not lying. I used to love Randy Orton. Randy Orton was one of my top guys. I still think he's great. Nothing's changed. But I won't watch SmackDown because of him. I did originally, but I'm not watching that garbage show because it's only Randy Orton. I tried my hardest to fall in love with Dolph Ziggler because he's trying so hard to be Shawn Michaels. So hard.
RKO, out of nowhere.
He's got the tights, the boots. He's using all the same moves. I mean, hell, Ziggler's a blonde Shawn Michaels, and he's almost got the blonde all the way out, but I can't even get into Ziggler. It's like SmackDown is garbage, and then I come on, I listen to you guys talk about how great it is. So it's like, I don't know, man. I guess I must be the old guy.
Well, we never said it's that great.
Stuff.
We never
every
said
week,
it's great.
Every
we just said it's been better
SmackDown
than Raw.
SmackDown wins again. Yeah, every week SmackDown wins again. How?
Well,
it's garbage. It's a trash
it's
show.
Garbage. It's
garbage. A better wrestling show.
It's garbage, but it's a better wrestling show. We're not saying that. It's the king wrestling.
And
we're just saying
talking
that
smack. Talking smack is the closest thing we're going to get to the Attitude Era, so we appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, we're saying it's better than Raw. We're not saying that it's the Attitude Era, you know?
I just don't know how the show with the lesser talent is going to be the better show ever. You could put it better matches. You could put it better storylines. The talent wins. And all the talents in Raw.
Well, if all the good talent is Raw, they're definitely not using them properly because.
Oh sure, yeah, they're not using them properly. We know that. I think every single one of us would go directly back with time warp to the Attitude Era tomorrow if we could, and that's how you use the talent correctly. But no one's going to do that. So now we're left with guys like Roman Reigns who got the look, but a childish gimmick. Guys like Rollins, who move like the greatest wrestler to ever live, Shawn Michaels, but yet can't really get back to his original form. And it's like, well, what the hell are we doing? You got a guy like Rusev, who should be the ultimate villain. He's so easy to root against with a gorgeous manager in Lana. I mean, she's incredible. And you can't make that work.
Yeah.
You can't make that work. And then you got guys like Strowman. That's a Vince dude. Jason said that a million times. Vince loves his giant dudes. So he should be an unstoppable force, an immovable object. And what's he doing? He's just chilling in the mid-card, not doing shit. Beating up on no-names? That's what you're doing with that?
Well, no, they are misusing Strowman without question. I mean, they need to stop insulting our intelligence. And start putting some fucking good product on Raw.
But Icon, are they insulting our intelligence, the 30-year-old, 35-year-old plus males that have not let go of this childish entertainment? Or are they insulting the 8-year-old's intelligence who's loving the show?
They're insulting our intelligence.
Get it? See, so that's the point, right? Is it over? You get what I'm saying? It seems like it's over.
And I can't disagree with you, you know. I mean, what we knew as the glory days of wrestling, I don't think we'll ever, ever, ever see again. And that just kills me, you know. I mean, what is it going to take for wrestling to be good again? I don't think there is anything.
It needs to be
I really don't.
Gang warfare. gang warfare is how you do it without a strong individual like a Stone Cold or a Rock or a Triple H or a Michael. You need gang warfare. You need the clique. It's the wannabe clique there. The Bullet Club. You need the Bullet Club. You need the Dirty Wife Beater Clan. You need all the groups you can put together. Shield should be back together. Factions is where it's at. Factions is
super group.
Dude,
yeah.
WWE. Well, at least WWE was exciting when the Shield was around. You couldn't stand them, but everybody wanted to watch every week. What are they gonna do? I could have done without the dumb gay ass videos they did where they were looking into the camera like a bunch of tools. But everything else was great, where they came out of the crowd unexpectedly, where CM Punk has a match against a guy like Ryback that should kill him, and then all of a sudden Ryback's through a table. It's like, this is cool. That's stuff. That's all. I will tune in for that.
Well, you know, you mentioned factions. The two best factions they had, the Shield and the Wyatt family, and then they split them up.
Well, the Wyatt family, I loved. I really liked the whole new face of fear. Of course, yes, but I liked them because I liked the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah, exactly. They're Diet, Undertaker, and the Ministry. They're dead on.
Yeah, which I loved in 99. And so the fact that they broke them up even, I was like, all right, here we go. So, you know, we do need the supergroups. And I'm sorry, guys, and I'm sorry, Jason. I know you eat your booty-os, but I just don't think New Day's getting the job done. I really don't.
But keep them together to be like the Dudley Boys or Edge and Christian, the garbage team that comes in just to fill out a match. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to be Matt and Jeff Hardy. They don't need to be Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. They don't need to be, you know, those prime tag team guys. They could be a tag team that's just there to either win a title to piss people off or a filler, a match filler. You know, the Fatal 4-Way TLC match would be phenomenal right now. The Wyatt family versus, like, the Shield versus the Bullet Club versus the Bootio Fags. That would be I would watch that match. I would watch that in a heartbeat. I would make it a point to watch that match. There's not a single match on Hell in a Cell that has me wanting to even turn that on.
Even the actual Hell in a Cell, like the fact that it's a Hell in a Cell match, or three of them?
Yeah, I don't care. The fact that they watered it down by putting two women in it has completely turned me off.
Now, Jason and Icon and I have agreed, and we've only got like about 10 minutes left to go here, have agreed that there's not going to be any blood in that match, that it's just going to be a regular match like you would see between these two ladies normally with, you know, about a mile of steel surrounding them. That's it. There's not going
to
be any, you know, the cage is not going to be used. There's not going to be any weapons. We sure aren't going to see thumbtacks. You know what I'm saying?
I'm willing
to be a regular match.
Blood. There will be blood because they turned down Charlotte's desire to jump off the top. Like, that'll be the consolation thing. You know, they'll be like, all right, listen, like, she was probably so fucking pissed they wouldn't let her jump off the top because those cells aren't as high as they used to make them nowadays. And they know how to take those balls. They know how to absorb that contact nowadays a lot better than they did back. I mean, when Michaels fell, he didn't even fall off the top. Shawn fell, he was hanging and fell off like the middle of the cell and his back hit the table. And that's more contact that you'll see now. You will never see that amount of contact, let alone Mankind taking a run and just doing a flip off onto a table from the tip top. You're never going to see that again. You might get a guy like Rollins to do that, but no one's taking that straight contact to a table or to a surface. I'm shocked guys are even willing to do what just happened tonight, where they get power bombed on the edge of the ring. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's stupid.
That's almost the kind of thing that hurt young and upcoming star Finn Balor.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well,
so I don't know if
What about the Shane's dive off the cage?
Yeah, I mean, Shane's the type of guy that when you heard him in his interview with Stone Cold, you know, he kind of tells it like it is, and I never believe he's in character for a moment when he's doing interviews or anything. I think he's a very genuine guy, and he wanted to do that to, like, prove a point to himself and to prove a point to his dad and his – kids. He wanted his kids to see him do that in person. So, you know, when you're the owner's son, you kind of get that, right? You get the say that most other people don't get, you know? So it's one of those things where I completely get where he was coming from. But I'm telling you, I would not be surprised, one, that if there was blood in the women's match, blood capsules or whatever. I highly doubt they're cutting themselves open for that, especially when they're females and their job is to look pretty. But there will be, like, capsules of some sort, probably a bloody mouth or something. You know, maybe Sasha can do it. Or maybe they'll you know, maybe Sasha will do it because she's already got red hair. I don't know. But I could see blood in the women's match just because they won't let Flair jump off the top of it.
And so basically they're kind of depriving us of what we really want to see.
Well, that's the right? WWE, man.
And it pisses me off that they're doing this. I mean, you know, I have said from day one when WWE bought WCW, I said that from day one. The good days of wrestling are now over. And I've said that.
Hey, Icon.
Yeah.
Icon, you know what that just reminded me of? What you just said?
You better not.
You know what really grinds my gears? You, America. Fuck you.
Well,
but anyway.
It doesn't play an edge, I guess.
No,
yeah.
Well, I'm not going to play Edge. I'm done with Edge for now. Another guy that Dustin, for some reason, I don't know what reason it is, and in the final 7 minutes, I don't know if I have time to listen to another explanation of it from him, but for some reason, Dustin is too blind to see the true enigma and talent and complete, you know, awesomeness that was Edge. But again, you know, I won't go into it because you know we won't have enough time left for Dustin to explain why he's not.
I love how I'm long winded because I put together sentences that make sense for you and it's too much to handle. Anybody who says more than three sentences is back to back to back. Oh, they're terrible people. Jason, to change the subject, did you hear about the Matt Hardy wanting to buy TNA thing? Did you guys cover that?
No, but
not yet. We're gonna finish with that.
No, what happened? What happened with Matt Hardy?
Well, he said he wants to buy TNA. They're like trying to work a deal out. I just didn't know if you heard about it, if you looked into it at all. I mean, I know everything you read online is obviously true, but I didn't know if there is like some extra validity to it. It's definitely floating around.
I would definitely love to see that.
If he does, then hopefully he'll do something with it. You know, put yourself up against Raw. Bring back competition.
How can you do that? You can't get into a stadium. Can't get into a stadium.
Can't get into a stadium. But that broken Matt Hardy character is the best creative character in the last 10 years, easily. Have you guys been watching that?
I've seen highlights.
I would.
I mean, anybody who can sell a character, as stupid as it may be, because I'm not an Enzo fan at all. I hate him more than John Cena.
But
apparently,
you can't teach that.
Yeah, apparently he's doing a good job.
I'm a better character than he is.
You are a character. You're irreplaceable.
Next time I call you, I'm gonna be like, "How you doing?"
Yeah.
That's
my
point. Realest guy in the room.
I know. How many times have you heard that in real life?
Then he'll hang up on you.
Bada boom, realest guy in the room, right here.
Can you guys maybe next week do like top five worst gimmicks ever? Like,
might be kind of funny.
I'm going to come on and absolutely just annihilate Cena, Enzo, and like, you know, all those other guys. But I'm sure you'll come up with like some legit ones. Doink the Clown, shit like that.
Yeah,
like, just garbage.
Gilbert.
Gilbert. The Goblin
Gilbert.
Gooker.
Gilbert.
How about Kane the Dentist?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Isaac Yankum DDS.
Well, I would have to say that the worst gimmick would have had to be the Blue Blazer. That cost us Owen Hart.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, how about Superhero in Training when Rosie became the shit? The Superhero in Training.
I remember that.
What about?
But anyway, yeah.
Who was the guy?
That's
hey,
a good
who
idea.
Was the guy that came out with Kurt Angle's music before Kurt Angle used his music? Wasn't that Sergeant Slaughter's music?
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe. It could
and
really
then
well.
There was a guy. There was also a guy who came out in Kurt Angle's like suit, his whole Olympic leotard, but had a mask.
Huh. I have to look that up. I don't know about
yeah,
that.
The Patriot.
The Patriot.
The worst gimmick though that really offended me was the fake Razor and the fake Diesel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, the reason why that offended you
that,
is because your Man Crush Monday is Scott Hall, which, by
right,
the way,
but
next week
Man
we
Crush Monday that's not Edge is a good Man Crush Monday, so I'll allow
well,
that.
Well, we are going to give Dustin. By the way, we will do the worst gimmicks. We are going to give him his due. I was busy today and I was on the road all day, so I didn't have time to load it. But next week we're going to have the tribute to the Icons. Man Crush Monday, we're going to have the Scott Hall tribute with the four best moments by him.
Hey,
and then I can explain what they meant to him.
Oye, me.
So
Chico.
We'll do that.
Okay.
So guys, actually, do your homework here. Do your homework here. Look this up. Look up who you think are the worst gimmicks. We'll each give four. To be safe, just to be safe, come up with five or six so that if somebody says yours, you'll have backups. How about the what?
The Renegade.
Yeah, I can
a
see it.
A rip-off of the old.
Now, I'm anxious to see why, under the worst gimmicks, if Dustin's serious about the, you know, the John Cena and those kind of guys, or if he's just doing it to
I'll
be fun.
I'll give you a hint. You know who gets my honorable mention for next week is
Edge.
The Tool with the Hoe Train. Even though I liked the Hoe Train.
Oh, the Godfather?
I hated that bastard. He sucked.
How about Val Venis?
He started out as Papa Shango.
Yeah. Liked the girls. I liked the Hoe Train, but I didn't like the conductor. So I can do without. That's my honorable mention right there.
How about Val Venis?
Hey, you're using them up all right now. You got to save them for next week.
I like Val Venis. I was going to say I like Val Venis. Hello.
Suck my Venus.
Now, there's one hell of an intro, though, that the sax, that was an awesome intro.
Yes. Yes, it was. So, anyways, we'll get into that next week. We don't want to spoil it too much. So, now you already know, for those listening to our highest listened to show, by the way, what next week is going to be Scott Hall tribute and the worst gimmicks of all time, plus some coverage of, you know, Hell in a Cell and all that.
And
we are going to be here
forget,
for the best.
Yeah,
the best 90 minutes
Jason,
of wrestling radio on the internet. But what's up?
And don't forget, Jason is going to give us all the ingredients for Bootios.
Oh, God.
Jason, that's fine. You're not obligated to do that. I know it's a secret, but that's fine. So make sure you guys do your homework. Have your worst gimmick set up. I'll have the Scott Hall clips. He will have his tribute clips ready to go, and we will go from there. So again, from overtime.news, make sure you stay tuned to tomorrow morning. We have Sports Roundup, and we have this show again. We have Sports Roundup on Thursday. Then we have this show again. We're going to have the Skidmore show off or on track with the Thoroughbreds. I'm going to be at practice for the Skidmore Thoroughbreds, the defending Liberty League champions, tomorrow, getting sound bites and quotes and everything from them. So stay tuned for that. And until next week,
deuces,
for another terrible Raw, we will see you on Monday.
Dead man walking. You've done it now.